Good morning, everyone. Greetings to you in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here. And I'm sure that there is many more better preachers and teachers here among you than I am. Even my children said once to me that I'm not a good teacher. I was teaching Jessica to drive. And I gave her a steering wheel and I said, okay, go ahead, park. And she said, how? Just park. What should I do? Just go and park. No, tell me, what should I do? How should I turn the steering wheel? When? What? And I said, everything is different. It's all every time change, just go and park. So, and she have support in the family too. Some others that I am not a good teacher. But nevertheless, I still want to share what God shared on my heart, lay on my heart. So I would ask you to bear with me and to be patient with my teaching and preaching. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank so much for everything that you have done to us. We thank you for the salvation you brought to us. Thank you for all the mercy, for all the love that you pour on us. And thank you for this day that you brought us here, that we could glorify your name, we can praise your name, for you have done so much for us, and we can learn of you. So help us to open our hearts and bless my lips, that you would talk to our hearts and your name would be glorified here and everywhere on the earth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So last Sunday we had a youth activity, and it happened that youth activity was on Independence Day. And we had some little talks about independence, and I thought to maybe to continue and to go again once again about our independency and dependency. How far is our independency goes, and how far goes our dependency, and what should we choose? So, independence is a great holiday in the world. I think most of the countries celebrate their independency. Everybody have own different understanding of independency. You know, everybody still depends for somebody, but those countries, they do celebrate their independency. Okay, I'm here from Ukraine, and as you know, Ukraine was a part of Soviet Union, and after it's collapsed, and Ukraine left Soviet Union and became an independent. And so that was in 2000. No, it was in 1991. Okay, so they had all these holidays of independence all the time, and considered to be independent. But recently, they start to fight for their independence. So 20 years later, or 25 years later, they are fighting right now for their independence from Russia. After 20 years, they've been independent. Now they're fighting for their independence, as you follow the news and the things. You know, so this independence in the world is, it's subjective. You know, is Ukraine becomes independent? No. Ukraine just want to change their dependency and to go to the West, and want to depend on West. Before it was dependent on East, Russia. Now they just want to be a part of West, so they're just changing their dependency. But for so many years, they did celebrate independence. But really, is there independence in this world? Freedom. How do you understand freedom? How does the world understand freedom? Soviet Union had their national anthem, and in their national anthem it was the words, I will translate it, I do not know any other country where man can such freely breathe. I do not know any other country when man can such a freely breathe. Well, no more Soviet Union, no more free breathe, because we all had to put masks on, COVID-19. So yeah, there is no country that can freely breathe. So our freedom, you know, is always being evaporating, changing things. But God gave us some freedom. What Bible say about freedom? In Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of flesh." Really, our freedom that God gave to us is a freedom of choice. It doesn't go any farther. It's a freedom of choice. When he put that tree in the garden, he gave this will to choose to man, or to serve God, to be dependent on him, or other choices. Another place, Bible says, "Life and death I put before you." And there God pleads us, therefore choose life. He gave us this freedom to choose and begging us to make right choices. And Satan chose another way. He wanted to be like God and higher than God. So he wanted independency. And of course, with this independency, he came to Eve and said, "If you will eat it, you will become independent. You will become like God. You will do what you want. You will be like God." So he also offered this independency to Adam, to Eve. He offered this independency to us. Because through this independency, he can damage a lot. Independence is very appealing to our flesh. That's why these holidays are being celebrated, maybe the most of other holidays, because it's very much appealing to our flesh. Because we all have our flesh, and flesh cares only about itself. Flesh wants me, I. So flesh very likes independence. Our flesh, earthly man, is very like independence. What I want, I will do what I want. I want that and that and that. So it's very much appealing to our flesh. That's why this holiday is being celebrated so much. But the reason is that, you know, every country brainwashed their own people about the freedom. I was in Soviet Union, and they were persecuting Christians. But outside of religions, people lived freely. They might have even more freedom than here, you know. Especially if you want to build something up there, you can build pretty much everything, what you want, where you want, how you want. As long as you have a piece of land or something, no township will come and say, "Oh no, you cannot build this, you cannot do that, you cannot do that." You know, so up there you may have even more freedom than here. And lots of people did believe what they live in free countries, and they thought is America is under bondage and all these things. It depends how do they brainwash people, but they did persecute Christians. There was no freedom. And there is no freedom anywhere in this world for the Christians. We all depend. And this world is fighting against God, and there is no true freedom for Christians. True freedom is only in Christ. And if we do have mind of Christ, we can have true freedom only in him. But until we are here on this earth, we are very much dependent on God. Once, maybe you remember Ken Miller case, you know, that missionary, that preacher that helped lady to escape to Nicaragua. So back then, us and Kravitz, we went to Vermont for the court to see. And I thought it would be good. We went with all our family, even our children were a little one, and I thought it would be good to take even little children with us, so they will see true freedom, true government, true Christian nation. So when we were there at the court, you know, there was a judge, there was a prosecutor, there was a defense, and all these things were going on. It was a little harder for me with the language and especially with the terms of those courtroom terms, you know, those words. But I understood what were going on. So when our boys were a little one, and back then they were a little. So at one moment, I remember Daniel, I want to be a police. Because the police is attractive, you know. What the boys see, you know, it's nice. I want to be a police. And I thought this would be a good time to take them there. Because, you know, I was explaining to him what is not a good for a Christian to be a police. So we took him there to the court, and to make long story short, there was a time when I saw that the judge, thank you. I saw that the judge wanted to help Ken Miller. He was older judge. He maybe had old moral training or something, but of course he cannot do much because there was lots of attorney general was there, lots of other people, news and everything like that. So he was supposed to be very careful. So he were trying to help him on his own way, and he were trying to push Ken Miller just to say, "I will not do it anymore. Forgive me, and I will send you home." But Ken Miller didn't want to compromise, and didn't want to do that. So the question arose like that, straightforward. So will you obey more to your God or to US court? This was a question straightforward. Will you obey more to your God or to US court? And he said, yes, I. He actually, defense stood and said, we're taking a break. And they actually walk away him from this straight answer, not to make more conflict. But by his answer, by the procession of court, Ken Miller was saying, yes, I will listen more to God than to U.S. court. I will obey to my God than to U.S. court. So America is a Christian court, and here you go. America is a Christian country. Free country, and here you go. The preacher being put to prison because of his belief, what he wanted to exercise freely. And here you go when the conflict between the government and Christianity and God started to. So that was a very good point. I remember I told to Daniel. So you know. If you will be a police or something like that, or in a government, the time may come that you may have to go and arrest your parents or somebody. The government will tell you. And it always will be introduced like a criminals. The Christian brothers did not go to prison in the Soviet Union as of belief. The government always were trying to put another to put another charge, different charge, trying to provoke them to resist the police and to put them in prison for resisting the government or something like that, you know. So it's always, the government always will introduce you, wrap something, you know. And even right now, we see The COVID came, and there was many, many times when the police came and stopped churches and said, you cannot gather and all these things. And what if you are serving this government in a police uniform? And freedom Christian country, it just doesn't match. It just doesn't match. What I'm saying, because I know there is many devoted Christians who is in the police and who is in the National Guards or so. You know, but the time will come when the major compromise will be given to you. You know, so can the Christians be of this earthly government? I don't think so. You can be a truly devoted Christian and to be here in a government because Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. To have a freedom in a country, for God needs only a few devoted men. When three friends decided to follow God, and then they didn't want to bow before the king, and he wanted to put them in a, and he did put them in a furnace. And as you know, they were released. And freedom came. That king said that everyone should worship this God. Everyone should worship this God. To have freedom in a country, it not depends on the government, but it depends on devoted men through whom God can work and to do his mighty things. It is a blessing to live in independent country like America. America has or had the strongest army in the world, you know, and by our flesh, or yeah, that's good, you know, the country has independence, you know, they're so strong, nobody can tell them what to do, or something like that. There are so many people trying to come to U.S., just look at the borders in the south, there is millions already, for these 5 months, it was a million people was arrested or so. That's what they said. For whole last year, it was 500,000. Right now, for 5 months, it's 1 million. So many people want to live in this independent country. You know, that's very appealing. That's very appealing to us. But even to have a strongest army and to read, especially the Old Testaments, and you can see that there were so many mighty armies, and little Israel was destroying all of them. So it can be that America had a very strong army, but if America does not have devoted Christian, God can give this country into hands of other nation, and this mighty army will able to do nothing. It all depends. Our freedom depends on God and on devoted men. Are Christians independent? Here's a question. Can Christians survive alone? Luke 15:5, it say 15:4-5. John 15:4. I made a wrong note. I had many notes yesterday, but if only I would follow them. Abide in me, as I am in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So that's what Bible said, that we are very much dependent to be alive, to be fruitful. We are very much dependent to be on the vine, that is Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It tells us, yes, we do have physical needs, but the word of God supersedes all our physical needs. And we do need God's good will and mercy for us to survive. God created us that we always will depend on Him. Spiritually, we depend on Him. We need fellowship with Him to satisfy our spiritual needs. Our spiritual inner man needs food to live. Without this food, our inner man dies. We cannot survive on our own. The independence that Satan introduced to Eve just does not work. God created us. He gave us freedom of choice. He wants us to make right choices. He created us to be dependent on Him. He wants us to be dependent on Him. And He wants to bless us so much. And the purpose why He created that He would give glory to Him, praise Him for all things what He have done. We must be on the vine. In Jeremiah 17:5, God also says about the freedom, about independency. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and those heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in a desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out of her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So here we hear God using the life of the plants, and he showed the dependency. Later on, I will come back to this verse, and I will explain more about the dependency, what God wants to us to learn here. So also, a couple of weeks ago, we had a Father's Day here, and we had a preacher here who did preach very good about husband and wife relationship, and he preached very good about father and children relationship, father, mother, parents relationship to children. But I guess we need to call him back, that he will finish his series, because he missed another part, that children to parents, relationship of children to parents. So I wanted to maybe just to briefly to touch these things, and I'm not really a good teacher, so I just want shortly to share what God laid me here on the heart. Maybe, little children depends on parents. They have dependency on parents, and there is no issues being raised, because children just depend on parent. Because children see their dependency, they understand their dependency, and they do as they have to do. And there is no issues arise in the family. But when children are growing up and learn more, getting stronger, getting wiser, learn more, they start to see what our parents is not really like God to us. They can see mistakes of the parents, and they may think what they can do better, because they are full of energy. They're looking from the outside, and they think what they can do better, they know how to do better, and the people in general, they becoming more knowledge right now. In this last time, the Bible say in the last time the knowledge will increase dramatically. So no wonder why our children is more have more knowledge than parents. So to have this knowledge, they see our failures. They see our failures, that we are not really these almighty parents for them, but we are just regular people, regular flesh, that we also can have our mistakes. So here, you know, here's some tension may arise, especially when the older children is growing. Here is lots of families with the little children, you know, but there is some with the older children. So I want to say something here. When they growing up, they God created them, especially boys. God created them to be leaders, and that start to show off in their, you know, in behaving, because they understand like that. They want to. God created them to be leaders. So they start to see. They're trying to build their future. They see, okay, for my future household, yep, I will need a car. I will need a job. They need things. They need things to build their future. Okay, I think everybody maybe 16 and older understand what I'm talking about here. They're trying to imagine how they will live and what they need to succeed, to be ready to have a family. And this is all good. And this is all good thinking. But here is a tension may come when you starting to approach to this with a different mind. Let's see. Yeah, so when young children have lots of knowledge, here you go, the pride is at the door. I can do better. We see the example from the Bible when the Solomon's son said, I can do better. Here is the pride came. So it comes to young people. They see it or not, but it does. But it does come. But how to start to build your future? I want to bring example from David. Well, I want to come back here that God created you to be a leader in your future family, unless he have a special mission for you to serve him only and to be a single. But in the majority, we understand that God said it's not good for man to be alone. So he did create a man supposed to be a leader. So let's take an example from David. When David was pretty young, he was anointed by the king, Samuel, to be a king. But how his life was there? You know, he was anointed by the king, but he did not act like a king. He actually was very humble. He actually was very humble and never fought for his kingdom. He was waiting until if Lord anoint him, Lord will give it to him. He was waiting for his time to come. He was waiting for his time to come and did not fight for it. And as a matter of fact, he freely could kill Saul a couple times, but he did not. He was running away, but he did not take leadership in his own understanding and try to pursue his kingdom. Even he was anointed as a king. He was anointed as a king, so God anoint me like as a king, can you move? Or at least give me half of the kingdom right now? Or some cities? No, he didn't do it. He was walking humbly and trusting the Lord until the Lord will do his work. And when it will be ready, Lord will make him a king. Same thing in our family, as you young people growing up, yes, God anoint you, we can say, to be a leader, but wait for your time until Jesus will give you your kingdom. And you will be, Lord willing, if you're going to have children, you will be a king. But king is not who is being served, but king who takes care of his nation, family, who guarding them, who feeding them, the king who is serving his nation. That's what kind of king wants, God wants you to be. God wants you to be also a prophet that you will, and a teacher, that you would teach your children. He wants you to be a priest in your family, and God wants you to be a prophet that you would warn your children what is to come and to teach them what to do to successfully build your family. So in the meantime, until God put you this desire to have your future family, but until Lord will do his work and make you a king in a family, he wants you to do lots of other works. There is lots of other works that we need to do. Before David became a king, God did so much to him. He passed so many tests. And David learned to rely on God. For all this time, he learned to rely on God. So until we're waiting, until God gives us, to you young children, your kingdom, learn to rely on God. So while you're in a family, I encourage you not to sit and wait, but you need to learn to deal with your flesh. You need to get with God and learn of him, that he may bless you in your future leadership and family. I encourage you to open the door of your heart to God. While you are still under parent authority, learn to be humble and honoring them, like David did. As you know, the man who killed the Saul, David also told him to kill. That's how deep he was relying on God. While you are in a family, you have learned how to deal in households. Learn to manage those things that is not yours. Because at this time when children want to have, I want to have my truck, I want to have my money, I want to have my job, I want to have my, it is come so many mine, but really, should it be mine in our life? If family is our one, as God created it, so it's supposed to be ours. So learn to manage in those that is not yours. In your family, put your input completely to family. We see the put your contribute to the family. The Proverbs from prodigal son. One man said, "Give me mine, and I will go and I will do what I want. Give me mine," and we know what's happened from that. Another man, he was in a family, but he did not treat it as ours, as his, and he treated it as its father, and he said, "You never gave me." So none of those were good. The best way is learn to contribute to the family and to be a part of the family. The Bible says, if you are not faithful in that what it is not yours, who will give you yours? So if you are not faithful in those what it is your parents, who will give you yours? But if you are faithful, well, what is ours? There is nothing is ours. It's everything is God's. But if we can take in a proverb or parable or something like that, you know, if we're learning to take care faithfully of our families, then you're opening a door that God will give you yours. You should not worry much. Oh, I need to have a good job. I need to have a car. I need to have a house. All these things, because I want to get married in the future. I want to have my family. But you need to walk before God, be faithful, and open the door for God that He will bless you later on, and He will give you all things. So in this time, it's good to refer to Psalm 127. It says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep." Accept the Lord to build your future house. Build your foundation. Foundation is a part what is not seen of the building. Build your foundation now. And this psalm saying that if God is not your foundation, if He is not building your house, then your trial is in vain. Then your trial is in vain. You need to make many choices. If we decided to do something, first we need to choose. We need to make choices. If God decided to put you, if God put in your heart for your future family, you will need to make choices. There is good choices, there is bad choices. I do encourage you to make a good choice, to have fear of the Lord. Choice to have this fear. This fear will not let you make wrong choices. Joseph made the right choice with the issues with Potiphar's wife. He said, "I fear of God. I cannot do this. I fear of God." So this fear of God, I would encourage you to have number one choice in your foundation, if building your home, to have a fear of God. To have fear of God. This fear will keep you straight. This fear will not let you to make wrong choices. Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding." Our own understanding, we need to have this, we need to have this, we need to have this in order to have a family. But God's understanding is a little different. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's God's understanding. That's God's teaching to us. Lean not on things that you have or you want to have, but let God to build your house. Make a choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make a choice before. Make it foundation of your future home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because when you will have a family and you're going to have your house, maybe it's a little bit late or something, but better late than never. But if you do not have your family, so it's better to make a choice now to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my future house, we will serve the Lord. If you make these choices, if you're making choices only but not pursuing it, not making an application, that will be only intentions. But it's not will be any building to your foundation. But if you're making these choices and we may making it applicable in our life, then God will bless you with a strong foundation. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. But is Jesus our Lord? Jesus did save us, and well, I think all of us here from a Christian family and young people going to church maybe from all their young ages, and they learn and they know the choices they need to make, and they know that Jesus is a savior, and Jesus is their savior, as they confessed it, and as it is their testimony. But another thing, is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus will dominate in your life ways? So here is more work to do. Make Jesus your Lord, practically, applicable. Young people have lots of practice to do before you got married. Let thy will be done in my life. Not my will, but thy. That's a good choice to make. Let thy will be done in my life. I made many notes and I already lost myself there. So, there's many things to do, and God wants us to do this. God wants us to depend on Him. I will come back to Jeremiah and read it again. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and makes flesh his arm, and those hearts depart from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in a desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So, what I want to point here that he's in a desert. It's very interesting plant. There are so many kinds of them, but the one that is surviving in the desert, what that plant do is his main job is to build long roots, so he will survive in the deserts, in the heat, in the dry. So that those roots are, I heard what they go in even 50, 60 feet, or maybe even more. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I heard that, and if they are surviving in a desert, it very much can be. But those roots are very, very, very long. So they depend on their root system to get water from the dry ground in a desert. Well, it seems good. It seems good to spread the roots and to survive when heat comes, you know, and to survive when heat, you know, because of your root, those roots have many spores and something like that, and they just catching even the small, you know, small parts of moisture, you know, just to bring it up, just to bring it up to the plant. And what's bad in this, you know, this plant is very good, equipped to survival, but for some reason God showing here what he doesn't like that. You know, God wants us to be like a tree planted by the waters that shall spread our roots by the river. The river have abundance of water. River depends, the tree depends on the river. Depends on the shower, depends on rain. The desert heat does not depend on rain. Desert heat is getting bits and pieces, a little bit of moisture, hard work from the deep underground. from the deep underground, and it says, and shall not see when good comes. And this plant will not see when the pouring rain will come, and abundance of water will be, because it's drinking by the roots, deep in the ground. God wants us to be like a tree planted by the river. Yeah, the tree by the river, we can say, have more risk or something, because what if it will be no river? What if it will be no shower? The roots are not that deep, and it cannot survive. But that's what it is. God wants us to lean on Him, because He sending waters, He sending rivers, He sending His showers of blessing. He wants to give, to pour the waters of blessing for us, that we would bring many fruits. Not like the other. But He wants to give us so much of water that we would bring many fruits. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We can depend on our deep roots as we grow up in the families. We always went to church. We always did good, as the young man who approached to Jesus and he said, all this I kept from my day of youth. He did all good. And God said to him, you need to do one thing. Sell everything and depend on me. And it was hard for him. We can do everything right like that young man and depend on our roots that we have in the tradition, in any things that we leaning on. You know, it's deep, even if it's desert, we're still surviving. But God wants us to depend on Him. God wants us to depend on Him. That's us to young people, to set your heart on God, and us to all of us here, that God wants us to depend on Him. Not to depend on our good works, what we kept from our young youth, not to depend our salvation on that, but we need to depend on God's showers of blessing. God wants to bless us. He created us for that. And He wants us to bring many, many, many fruits. So we have lots of things to do, young men. Also, for the young girls, I think it's will maybe somebody else will continue, but the bride needs to prepare herself. So God bless you all, and may we abide on the vine and be like a tree planted by the river and bring lots of fruits in our life. May we build our foundation, our home, our future houses on the foundation Jesus Christ, that this will be equitable in our life, and to open the door for God to come and bless us in a happy and faithful families. Amen.